Hello, everybody. It's Joanna. So glad to be here with all of you for our September training call. I've been thinking so much about each of you, and I'm really, really looking forward to our call today. I'll tell you a little bit more in a few moments, but first, as we always do, let's get grounded and centered and just really fully present to our time together today. So wherever you are, I invite you to close your eyes. If you're somewhere where you can't close your eyes, then simply energetically close the shades on your eyes, so that you can go inward. And then allow yourself the next few moments just for you, as you focus on your breath, on inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, open up, take in life. As you exhale, let go, release. Breathing with intention so that you can feel the breath from the inside out, so that you can, your insides are able to feel the breath come in and out of your body, using the experience of breathing right now as an opportunity to connect with your insides, to remember your body, and as you inhale and exhale in this way, I invite you to find your rhythm for today. Find the rhythm that is right for you right now. There is no need to go any more quickly or any more slowly than how you're meant to in this moment. Take the time right now as you breathe to reset yourself so that you can come fully into alignment with this moment. And as you breathe in this way, and reset in this way, I invite you to attune to the turning of the wheel of the year and to the new season that is emerging. I invite you to attune to the autumn, to connect with the autumn energy of letting go. Just like the trees at this time of year know the great importance of not clinging, so we follow them. as you breathe and attune to the season and to nature, I invite you also to connect with the balance of the autumn. This is a moment where there is exactly as much daylight, daytime, as there is nighttime, exactly as much light as there is dark. See as you breathe if you can harness that sense of balance inside of yourself. And together we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in and out. And as you breathe in this way, I invite you to ask your inner wisdom the following question. What is ready to be brought back into balance? What is ready to be brought back into balance? Maybe it's something inside your business or not. What's ready to be brought back into balance for you? And as you identify that thing that's ready to be brought into balance, maybe it's balancing work time with leisure time. Maybe something has gotten out of balance in terms of your fears and your desires. Maybe what wants to be brought back into balance is taking more time to write out copy versus doing things last minute. Maybe your eating is out of balance. Whatever it is, I want you to take a moment and feel in your body what that imbalance feels like. Allow yourself to really connect with the imbalance that has been happening around this issue, whatever it is, this dynamic, whatever it is. And just notice how that imbalance feels in your body. And then from there, I invite you to breathe in the equilibrium of this season. Literally allow your body to open up and breathe in balance, breathe in equilibrium. Breathe it deep in, into your insides. And just notice how that feels. Taking a couple more breaths this way, finding more balance and more balance and more balance. Placing a hand on your heart and setting an intention around whatever has come through in this look at the autumn and the idea of balance, setting that intention in your heart and offering it up as a prayer or or an intention to the universe. And then slowly allowing your eyes to flutter open and bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. So, I don't know about you, but for me, this concept of balance and equilibrium feels even more important this autumn than in seasons past. It has been kind of crazy town lately. I can say that for myself, and I have seen it for a lot of my clients, a lot of the women in my community, a lot of my colleagues. It's like there's something in the air. I don't know if it got activated through the eclipses. I don't know if it's world events, weather, combination of everything, but it's been a lot, you know, and some of us have experienced everything that's going on as kind of losing our equilibrium a little bit. I know certainly that's been a piece of my experience. I know some of us have experienced some of the crazy town energy by going into fear and resistance, anxiety and worry, or feeling frustrated. And some of us have been able to ride all of the energy really well and leverage it. And if you are one of those individuals, my just hats off to you. But I share all of this because I want to, as we come together for our work together today, I want to normalize it and just say, you know, periods, if you're experiencing any craziness right now or loss of footing or anxiety or frustration or things not working the way you want, this too is part of the process. Life and business and everything are always moving in cycles. And there are moments where those cycles are like a celebration of life and full ease and everything happening exactly the way we dreamed it. And then there are other cycles that are more difficult. It doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong if you are in a more difficult cycle at all. So, all that being said, where we're going today, we're going to look very specifically at marketing and looking at how to make your marketing, whatever marketing you're currently working on, and whatever format you're working in, whether it's in print, in presentation, in video, Facebook, you know, whatever it is, we're going to be looking at how to make it more effective, no matter what it is that you're working on. And we're going to be doing it. First, I'm going to share with you, you know, I'm sure if you guys are watching what I'm doing right now in my business, you've seen that over the last month I've been in the middle of a big launch. And I've learned a lot of lessons so far from this launch. Learned new lessons and also old lessons have been reinforced and I've been reminded of things. And first of all, I just know it's so helpful whenever I pull the veils for you and just kind of bring you behind the scenes so you can see a little bit what's happening in my business, but I'm going to use it for you to as a learning opportunity. And then from there, after I kind of share some points, we'll go into how to adapt those points into your business, no matter where you are with it, to make it more effective. And really you'll see the theme for today over and over and over again is going to be that in order to be effective and successful in your marketing, it's usually, like, 9 times out of 10, it's not about marketing more. It's about marketing better. It's not about marketing more. It's about marketing better. What I've noticed for myself and a lot for my private clients as I've been talking to them this month, the last couple of months, really, I feel like it's a trend, is that the transformational and coaching and industries, you know, all the things that we're doing, like however we identify this industry, is kind of getting crazier and crazier and crazier with more and more things that we need to do and hoops that we need to jump through in order to, you know, market, you know, like all this stuff. And quite honestly, I think it's tiring. And what I always strive for, what I've strived for from the beginning for myself and for my clients, is not to be concerned with all of the bells and whistles, because I don't actually think that that's what makes the difference. What I really strive for is simplicity, how to make things as simple as possible. And what I found is that the more precise that I can get in my marketing, and we'll talk on this call what precision in marketing means, but the more precise that I can get in my marketing, the more on target I can get, then the more I can actually simplify, the less hoops I have to hop through, and the better my marketing becomes. So that's what we're going to be taking a look at today. And we're a small group on the call today. And this is a little bit by design. So I'll just, kind of bring you guys behind the scenes. There might be a couple of women that come into SLI over the next few months, but between now and this coming August, my intention for this group is to remain a little bit smaller, so we can have a tighter container and do deeper work together. And so what that means is I want to see more of you in the Facebook group. When we have training calls, I want to hear from, I know we always have a lot of interaction, I want to hear even more interaction. It's a real opportunity for us to go even deeper. Okay. So all that being said, let's jump in and have me, I'm going to share some pieces about this current launch that I've been going through. So if you haven't been following me, my marketing lately, you may not know this, but right now I have a new offering. It's called the Sacred Depths Coach Training, Master the Art of Client Transformation. And this offering is a 10-month kind of all-inclusive, going deep, deep, deep into how to be the best practitioner that you can be, how to work with your one-on-one clients and your group clients to create deep transformation, to create rapid breakthroughs, to help move clients through fear and self-sabotage and obstacles, and to help them be more accountable to their goals. to help them go deeper in their self-awareness and in their motivation. And there's a couple of things that I've done in this launch, and I want to lay them out for you and tell you what's worked about them and what hasn't worked about them. And I promise you, I mean, I know you're curious to hear all of this, just to hear it, but we're going to extract a lot of lessons from this. So I started this launch kind of with a pre-launch in August. And what I did in the beginning of August is I put together a joint venture project. I invited 20-plus experts to contribute tools and wisdom and knowledge so that I created this handbook with all of their knowledge on how to help clients move through fear and resistance. Because I knew that fear and resistance is like a really important, right, from all my years of training coaches, I know that that's such an important topic for coaches and practitioners, because if you don't know how to help lead your clients through fear and resistance, it's like, you know, you just can't get very far, because strategy is only really half the game. And the other half of the game is the fear and resistance. So I very strategically put together this joint venture project, this handbook. Each of the 20-plus partners helped me promote the handbook. And as expected, it generated a lot of buzz and a lot of interest. And we brought, you know, close to 2,500 new people into the community. This is a free, you know, just opt in and get it. And I was very, very pleased with that. And I made the decision, you know, when we were offering it, that I was just going to offer it. I was not going to invite, you know, right away anyone that opted in into the next thing with me. It had a little bit to do with my summer vacation. It had a lot to do with my summer vacation, actually. I just needed to set a boundary and take some time off, and I wasn't ready to go in full force, full swing into promoting my 10-month coach training program then. But the idea was I'm going to bring these new people into the community and then have them and, you know, all of the people already in my community to let them know about this program. So that went really well. And it went really well because I knew that fear and resistance was something that, you know, for coaches, for my ideal client, for the Sacred Depths Coach Training Program, my ideal client is a practitioner who, like, really wants to be the best of the best at what they do. They really want to make an impact. They really want to go deep. And I knew for that ideal client, they get it. Like, they get that they need to be a master at fear and resistance. So I think that's why that PDF was really successful, because I spoke exactly to the need. But then things got a little off track for me. So what happened? So when I got back from my summer, I always take a break in August for a couple of weeks. I got back. The next kind of piece of the launch was I wanted to do something that would engage people more. Something still for free, but something that would engage people more, you know, more than just like downloading a handbook, something that would bring them deeper into connection with me and into the material. And so I created, and I know some of you guys participated, and it was really awesome in a lot of ways. I created an assessment, a coaching assessment, that people would do over 5 days, and then that assessment culminated in a preview teleclass the following week. And as I was conceiving of this whole project, this leg of the project, I guess you can say, what I got really clear on was that the message that I really wanted to lead with, the thing that I thought people really needed to hear, was that while marketing is so important, which it is, what's even more important than marketing is being really good at what you do. Because when you're really good at what you do, then your clients re-sign with you, then you get referrals, then your reputation grows. Now, that statement that I just made is 100% totally true. And I feel so passionate about that statement. And I really kind of created this whole assessment, and especially the preview teleclass around this. The preview teleclass was kind of like the state of the union on the coaching industry, what's working and what isn't. And then from there, you know, I made the connection to the need for greatness in what we do, the need to be a master. And then I invited people into, that was the first moment where I really invited people into the 10-month program. So here's the thing, and this is really important. While, you know, we had a nice amount of people opt in for the assessment and the preview teleclass, it was nowhere near the amount of interest we got for that fear and resistance PDF. And we had nowhere near the amount of engagement that I was expecting for that assessment. We had some really nice engagement, but nowhere near the amount of engagement that I was expecting. And initially, you know, from that preview teleclass, usually on a preview teleclass, I make like a whole bunch of sales, a lot, even before I get off the phone on the preview teleclass. From that one, we made a small handful. So I knew that something had gone on track. I already knew even before the preview teleclass because I was watching what was happening with the assessment, and it was like, there's nothing I could do to get more people engaged. And so I knew that I had gotten off track. I had somehow not been precise enough in my messaging, and I needed to figure out what it was. And so as I began looking, I saw two really important things. The first thing that I saw was that for the assessment, I was asking participants to get really, really honest, essentially, about the places where they kind of sucked when it came to coaching, you know, like, I mean, I was asking them to get really clear on their strengths as well, but I was activating gap, right? So I was asking people to get clear on, you know, where things working out not so well with clients, where do you feel like you don't have the right tools, what are the places? And so what I realized just off the bat is that in my line of work, it's so much easier for a prospect to admit to herself, and then, you know, to a Facebook group, which is where people were posting about the assessment, it's so much easier for a prospect to admit to herself, to a group, where she's having trouble marketing, where, you know, things in her business aren't working so well. But it's a whole other thing. It's way harder for someone to admit to herself and then to admit publicly where she's not serving her clients well enough, where she's not being effective enough in transforming her clients. There's much more of a fear factor there. There's much more of a shame factor there. There's much more of a pride factor there. There's much more of an ego factor there. You know, all of that, right? So I was really asking people to, like, be vulnerable and share and engage in a container that wasn't that tight on things that they probably didn't even want to fully admit to themselves, let alone admit to, like, a bunch of people in a Facebook group that they didn't know. Right, so that was one of the places where I kind of got off track a little bit. But that's not the biggest place where I got off track. What I realized as I was looking is that where I got even more off track was in my messaging. So in my messaging, I was talking about how the industry has gotten crazy, where it's just been about glamorous marketing, where it's just been about surface, where it's just been about inflated rates, you know, all of which is 100% true, right? And then I was talking about the importance of mastery of your work, of doing even better with your clients, right? All of that. So that is all true, and I feel very passionate about it. And people, by the way, they loved that message. They were inspired by that message. I got so many emails after the preview teleclass, people telling me, thank you so much that you did that. You were so spot on. I agree with you 100%. I had so many colleagues send me emails saying, you are carrying the torch here. You know, like just thank you. But it didn't translate into the amount, initially it didn't translate into the amount of sales that I was expecting. And here's why. In that messaging, I was sharing with my prospects what I knew they needed, but I wasn't sharing with them. I wasn't speaking to the problem that they had. I'm going to say that again. In that messaging, I was speaking to the problem that I know needs to be solved for them, but I was ignoring the primary problem that was in their head. So what was the primary problem that was in my ideal client's head? Well, it wasn't that they want to be one of the torchbearers of the industry and help undo, you know, like all that's gone wrong, you know, all of that. Like, yes, I mean, they're inspired by it on some level, yes. But that's not what the primary concern of the ideal client for Sacred Depths. The primary concern for the ideal client for Sacred Depths is about when they get stuck with their clients and they don't know what to do, when their client experiences fear and resistance. Again, why that handbook did so well, right? How do they navigate through it? When their client isn't showing up enough, what do they do? When their client just can't get clarity on something, no matter what kind of question they ask their client, you know, they just can't get clarity or they can't work themselves out of the habit. Like, what do they do? Right? Those are the primary desires and concerns of the ideal client for this program. They want to be better at what they do, and they are worried that they're not serving their clients well enough. So here I was geeking out on this message, which is important, and, you know, ultimately I think will serve me well in my business in many ways, but I was kind of like geeking out on this high-level message without saying what needed to be said to the ideal prospect, so that they would not just feel connected to me and agree with me and be inspired by what I was saying, but so that they would feel like, oh my gosh, I really need this. I need to learn how to work with my clients' shadows. I need to understand the wheel of self-sabotage and how to get my clients off of the wheel of self-sabotage. I need to understand how people relate to time because my clients are having trouble with balance and owning their time, right? Like all of those things. I wasn't speaking to that. And so as with any launch, a launch is a living, breathing organism. And I know some of you are at the level of launching and some of you, you're not ready for launching. It's okay. I hope, instructive, and we'll pick it apart in a little bit, no matter what kind of marketing you're doing, even if it's just individual outreach, right? But so, you know, as it goes with a good launch, it's a living, breathing organism, and just because you planned, you know, 10 emails, they're all written, ready to go out, if you see that the launch isn't working, you're going to want to shift gears, right? You're going to want to do what I did, try and find out what's not working, and then shift it up. And so that's what I started doing in my emails. I moved away from that big meta message into really speaking to to the real needs, what you're really saying, really speaking to what they wanted to hear versus what I thought they needed to hear. And then, of course, from then, from that point, sales started picking up, and they really started picking up. Gosh, there's so many other things I want to share. I think there's another piece that I want to share here before I pause, which is that so sales started picking up, but what was interesting to me, we still weren't getting as many sales as I had wanted. And I knew that there were going to be a bunch of different phases of this launch, that, you know, this early bird period wasn't going to be the only phase of the launch. I knew I wasn't going to get everyone in then. But I was still like, you know, I feel like I should be getting more people. And so I went and I looked again. Well, what am I not saying, right? I always want to look for, like, what am I not saying here that needs to be said? And as I looked again, what I noticed is that almost everybody that was buying was just going to the website, clicking, and buying. I noticed that very few people were scheduling calls. Now, on the one hand, that's, like, super awesome, right? Like, people are just clicking and buying. Me and my sales team don't need to have conversations with them, although I did want to, you know, send more business to my sales team's way. So on the one hand, it's awesome. But on the other hand, that was a clue to me, right? That let me know, because there has to be questions on such a big program like this. You know, if it's a small 4-week program, people maybe don't have questions, they click and buy, right? But in a big 10-month extensive program like this, of course some people are going to have questions. Of course, you know, the majority of people are going to want to have a call. So the fact that people weren't signing up for calls was a clue to me that something had gone off again. And when I went and looked at the sales page and I looked at the emails I was sending out, I realized that I actually hadn't given the instruction very clearly to set up a call if you have questions. Because there was an option to click and buy on the sales page, that was kind of like the biggest instruction. That was the biggest message. I hadn't gone out of my way to say to people, I know that you're going to have questions. I know that you're probably going to want to talk to me or to someone on my team. Please, let's get together. My schedule's open. I'd love to connect. Now, why didn't I do that? That's a whole other story, because I usually do that. But the reason I didn't happen to not do it initially with this is because when I was offering my ritual and facilitator training last spring, I didn't have time for sales calls. So I made it like a really sweet deal to just click and buy, and somehow I like forgot to not do that again here. Okay, so I'm going to pause here. I just spoke a lot. Hopefully, you know, you're not bored by this whole story. Hopefully there's a lot of learning here. I'm going to pick out a lot of the learning. But first, I'd love to hear from you. Like, what are you hearing and seeing from what I'm sharing so far that is just really striking you, that feels important for you? So star 2 to raise your hand. Or let me know if you're like, Joanna, why are you even talking about this? But hopefully not. Hopefully you're seeing things for yourself. So what are you seeing for yourself? Marnie.
Hi.
Hi.
I was kind of picking up on this before we had this call, but as you were talking, it really solidified of just there like a lot. Like I want to give so much. I really overgive, and I keep editing myself, and then I go, oh, but that's not enough. What if they don't get this? And I don't sit back and say, wow, this might be a little bit too much, and I need to be more simple
mm-hmm.
in my marketing as well as in my curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And while it doesn't seem, you know, like I've been doing this for so long, it doesn't seem like a lot. But to someone who's never done it, this is going to blow your whole mind.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good. Yep. Sometimes the simple way is the best way. And what I also hear in what you're saying is, like, you don't want to put so much up front in the marketing. You think that that's what people need, but that's actually not what they need. Good.
And the other piece of that was I was resistant to a comment that Caitlin made to me the other day, because I was just like, I just don't know if I'll have time to do calls on my upcoming launch. And I was like, oh, I don't, you know, I've got so much going on. I don't know if I'll have time. But now I'm listening to you, and I'm like thinking, everybody's going to say yes to the call. And what if the people, it's my ideal client, and they just have a couple of questions, and that's what helps them feel that this is aligned for them. I really need to make the time.
Yes. Yeah, I get the resistance to it, believe me. I get the resistance to it. But, Marnie, it really is a very sound advice from Caitlin. It's important to make yourself available during a launch to be able to hop on the phone with people and answer. It's annoying for sure, and it's also really important. So good. I'm glad that you caught that.
My resistance has more to do with that balance. The balance of free time and non-free time. And as with a husband who's traveling a lot and having a child, I'm very focused on that being priority. So,
yeah, I totally hear you. And here's what I'll say, just like for any launch period. And this is another mistake I made in this launch, guys, by the way. Launch periods, they just are crazy. They just are, to different levels and different, but they're time consuming and they're energy consuming and you're putting so much focus there. And like, what did I do this time? I scrunched it in between I was taking a 3-week vacation in August. I scrunched it in between that and the Jewish holidays and my kids starting school and me going to New Hampshire to officiate a wedding. It was stupid. It was such ridiculousness, right? Because the balance, speaking of balance and equilibrium, during a launch period, balance looks different than other periods. And that's something, for as much as I want to fight it every time, I come to embrace it more and more. You know, balance, and any yoga instructor will tell you this, Michelle on the call will tell you this too, balance does not mean that it looks the same in every moment, that the center of balance is in the same place all the time, right? Depending on the situation, the environment, the center of balance is in a different place.
Definitely. I totally agree.
Good. Good, good, good. All right. I want to hear a couple more shares, and then we'll get into more nitty-gritties on each of your own marketing pieces. Alisa.
Hi. When you were saying that the launch periods are a different kind of balance, it reminds me of finals week. It's just you're eating, breathing, and sleeping it sounds like.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, which I haven't had one yet, so it's good to know what to expect. But just my comments, number one, I think it's awesome that you shared all of this with us. It's quite humble, and that those types of sharings, I think, stick a little deeper. So I appreciate it. And what really does stand out to me, you said, I quoted you on this, geeking out on a high-level message instead of what your ideal clients really needed to hear. And I believe that I'm often guilty of that, or find myself doing that. So that was really helpful. And then just to hear how your self-evaluation or how you're listening to this really massive event that's going on is, I mean, I think it's really cool, but it's also eye-opening, I guess, just all these levels of things that we can listen to. So I appreciate hearing that process.
Yeah, and that listening is it's something I want you all to be doing in all of your marketing, whether you're launching or not. Every piece of marketing that we put out there has our next step solution in it for us. So another example of that is when I did the preview teleclass, I got this question, and then I got this question in a couple of emails that people sent me, or even on calls with people. You know, a question that came up a couple of times was, am I going to have enough time for this program? You know, how time-consuming is this going to be? So even that, listening to that is so important and so valuable, because what that said to me was, oh, there are some people that are resisting signing up for this or getting on the phone for a call because they want this, but they're thinking it's probably going to take up too much of their time. I need to talk about timing on the sales page, and I need to talk about the timing in emails. I need to address this, right? So if we're listening, we're always hearing another piece that's important for our marketing. Great. Okay, I'm going to take one more share, and then we're going to go a little deeper here. Corey.
Hi.
Hi.
What came up for me is similar to what Marnie and Lisa were sharing in terms of the precision and the simplicity really being a gift. Mm-hmm. I can come to that at any given point, lay it all out in front of me, and my freak out factor is thinking, oh my God, I didn't do it, da 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 da, fill in the blank, and then I start to think that I have to add those things in when in truth I don't, and that's what I hear or thought I heard Marnie saying. So that was important to me, to trust that listening piece and really pay attention to how I'm listening to myself as I move through the process, as well as the responses that I get at any given point during the process. And for me, that really is about back inside myself, my own flexibility and with my intuition. And that's really, really important for me to always pay attention to.
Because what can especially happen when we're trying to sell something is that we end up listening to our fear instead of our intuition or the information that the universe is sending us by way of feedback. It's like all of that can get muddied, and then we go with the fear. So that is so important. Thank you. Good. So as Alisa mentioned, it is very vulnerable for me to share, especially while I'm still in the middle of it, to share, you know, places where I got off track and to share this process. And probably there's no other coach out there that would actually share this, but I'm sharing it because I want you to learn from it, and also because I want you to see that you don't have to be perfect. My marketing is far from perfect. It's pretty good, but it's far from perfect. But my program will still fill. The right number of individuals will still step in. I want you to see that you get more than one chance, that you can course correct. I want you to see that even if things get off to a rocky start, they can turn around. Because sometimes we can just forget all that and then things get really icky. So from there, let's go a little bit deeper. And I want to ask you guys a question and give you a couple minutes to write on it. Here's the question. What is it that your clients need to hear that you're not currently saying in your marketing? So in other words, what is it that you're not currently addressing in your marketing? What is it that they really need to hear? They need to hear it, right? Just like my clients needed to hear about this course is going to help you when you don't know how to direct your clients, when you don't know how to move them through fear, resistance, self-doubt, right, all of those things. What are you not sharing, whatever it is that you're marketing right now, right? So stick with present moment. Whatever it is that you're marketing right now, whether you're doing it in a launch or in an individual outreach or in a Facebook post or whatever it is for you, preview teleclass, what are you not saying that needs to be said? What are you not saying right now that needs to be said? I'll give you a minute with that. And this is, if you connect in with your heart, you'll know the answer to this. Like, definitely look at feedback you've been getting through conversations or non-conversations or engagement or non-conversation, but also reach into your heart for this, right? Like, what have you not said that really needs to be said? So let's pause on this one before we go further. So what's coming through for you? What are you seeing? Star two. What have you not been saying that your ideal prospect really needs to hear? Alisa.
So that is really helpful for me. So what I'm not saying, I am inviting people into my new online Sacred Circles offering. And in the conversations that I've had, people are excited to learn and develop a spiritual practice. And I haven't really said that that's what I'm going to be offering. I mean, sort of implied, but I haven't. I mean, and I even think that it's been in the last few days that I've recognized, oh, that is going to be a significant part of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good. Really, so in your marketing, I don't want you to only share that that's going to be a part of it. I want you in an easy way to share why spiritual practice is vital for your ideal client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does, yes. Thanks.
Awesome. Good. Marnie.
Okay, so my resistance always comes up with this question or questions like this because I go, I know this so well, I don't remember what it was like when I didn't know this. And so I started writing, I'm not sure. But then I kept going and I wrote, it's easy, but I think that's already in there. But what I don't have in what I'm currently putting out there is it takes practice.
Yeah.
And time to bring it into you, to become part of you.
Yeah.
And then from there, the other piece that spoke out was you don't listen to yourself enough, and it affects more than one or two things in your life that you'd like to change, like better sleep, being more with it, having better sex, being more clear. It's almost like dominoes.
Mm-hmm.
They pile onto each other.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So what I love about both of these things, Marnie. So one is like this takes time and practice, and the other is you don't listen to yourself. We want to connect even one more dot here. The next thing after all of that, which is why you need a container for accountability and a mentor who can help you with all of this.
Oh, the bridge of me.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because what all of that is pointing to, and this is probably something that goes through an ideal prospect's mind, is like, this is great stuff. I can probably do this on my own, right? It should come naturally to me. Right? So I think your heart and mind have gone right now, which is exactly where they need to go, is you need to make the connection that, like, actually, I mean, we never want to say this flat out. You know, actually, you can't do it on your own, right? Because that's a little, you know, neither here nor there. But we want to make the case for it's going to, like, you really need a guide through this and a container with this and a practice. And this is where you're going to get it.
And as you were talking, the other thing that came to me was no one who is, I mean, I hate to say it this way, but no one who's really getting deeper into this and making big shifts is doing it alone.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, you want to say all of that. And you want to talk about how you didn't do it alone when you started, or maybe you still aren't doing it alone, right?
I'm not.
So, yeah. So, all of that. Good. Beautiful.
Love it.
Awesome. Okay, let's keep on going with some more questions, and we can hear shares on those and other pieces. So next question is, what is the resistance that your marketing isn't currently addressing? So Marnie actually started with her answer. She started to go there, right? What's the resistance that your marketing currently isn't addressing? So another example is, you know, the one that I gave, that timing thing, right? Like one piece of resistance in my ideal client's mind is this is going to take up too much of my time. And at first, none of my marketing was addressing that at all, right? So what is the resistance that probably is rolling through your ideal client's head that your marketing needs to address that it's not currently addressing? I'll give another example just for your minds to go, like, this is a resistance that I did know I needed to address from the beginning and is woven through all of my marketing, is that this program is for seasoned practitioners as well as new practitioners that are accelerated, you know, that are ready to go deep. But I knew that a resistance piece would be a seasoned practitioner would read it and be like, well, maybe I don't really need this. I'm pretty experienced. My clients are doing pretty well. So maybe this isn't for me, right? So woven throughout all of my marketing for it is like, no, this is for you if you're already doing well, but you know that you could be doing better. You know your clients can be going deeper. You know they're still getting stuck in certain places, right? I address that in multiple ways. So what is the resistance that you really need to be speaking to? Because remember the thing about resistance, you always want to call it out. You don't want resistance to ever be rolling around in a prospect, you know, whether it's an enrollment conversation, in preview, you know, whatever it is, you want to speak always to the resistance. You want to call it out. You want to normalize it. You want to give a solution around it. Or else it becomes this big bad thing in your prospect's head that holds them back. All right, next question, and then I want to hear some more shares and what's coming through. Next question is, what are the instructions that you're either not giving or not giving clearly enough? What are the instructions that you're not giving or not giving clearly enough? So, you know, my example again was I wasn't directing people to have a call. I wasn't giving them that instruction. That was a vital piece. So what is the instruction? Think about the your entire process of enrolling someone. What is the instruction that you're not giving or not giving clearly enough? Sorry for the background noise. People are mowing my lawn. All right, so we have time left. I want to hear from you what's coming through or where are you getting stumped or where are you getting confused or what are you seeing? Let me help you get even more precise in your marketing. Or let's hear how you're getting more precise in your marketing. So star two, what are some things that you're seeing? What's coming through? Marnie, I see you raising your hand again. I'm going to just wait 1 minute. I'll definitely get to you. I just want to see if anybody else wants to share. Felicia.
Hello.
Hey.
Coincidence. Being that Marcy and I talked before this call and looked at my messaging, and what we came to is about the disconnect within the self between the outer life, looking fabulous, house kids, 2.5 kids or whatever, and a dog, and inside feeling like something's missing. Mm-hmm. And so I honestly haven't been speaking to that enough. My overall message had been around authenticity, but I'm realizing how that's too broad.
Yeah. Yeah, because your ideal client doesn't stay awake at night being like, oh, my God, I'm not authentic enough. I'm not living an authentic enough life, right? That's another case of, like, you knowing what they need. They need authenticity, mm-hmm. but that's not what they need to hear as the lead.
Right. And so, you know, one with your first question, one of the things, I wrote down several things, but one of the things that my clients need to hear is that they're not trapped. You know, for instance, they're not stuck in a job for the next 20 years that they don't like. They're not hopeless, and they have the power within them to create change.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be this way.
It does. Yes, exactly. It doesn't have to be this way. And there is a way out. Mm-hmm. And now where the resistance might come in is that the way out might lead to disapproval from others, or it might be such a big change that they feel like they're blowing up their lives. They might lose their kids or their dog or their house or whatever. Or, you know, why pay for it? Just read a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are two really important things to address. And I love both of them, but I really love that first one because that is a big thing that keeps people from changing. It's like, well, my relationships might change. What if I lose people that I love?
Mm-hmm.
So just speaking to that in your marketing is really going to help some of those people come out of the woodworks and want to talk to you. Beautiful. Okay.
Yeah, and then I certainly have some stories to tell about my husband and how we come into disagreement about some of these, the disapproval aspect and the whole differences of opinion and things like that. But
I would say share those stories. And, I mean, experiment with this. If you see that people are really engaging with that, you might want to do a teleclass that's even titled, like, How to Make Big Changes in Your Life while still holding on to to those you love, or, you know, something like that. I wouldn't jump into doing that right away. I want to see how people engage more as you speak about this particular resistance, but there might be something really big and important there for your people,
mm-hmm.
especially because mm-hmm. it was such a big part of your story, too.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to make a note of that.
Good. Awesome. All right. Amelia.
Hello. Hello. So I am pre-launch of a book-based mastermind group or group coaching mm-hmm. offering that I'm going to do. I've been thinking about it for a while. Marcy and I have been talking. And I have a pretty good idea about what it's like to get clients into one-on-one coaching. But this idea of offering this group, and I'm thinking like 10 people, 10 weeks, 5 meetings, $200. I'm just kind of pondering as I'm listening to everything today about how I should do that different, like, you know, I'm just looking for some tips about addressing something like this, because the goal is so that people get to know me. It will definitely serve the people who come to the group, so it's kind of a funnel mm-hmm. for prospects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, the first question again, what do those people need to hear in order to step into this group program? What is it that they need to know?
I don't know. But it was interesting. I had dinner with a friend last night, and she's like, oh, I might be interested. And I was surprised. I was like, oh, my gosh, I didn't even think about Andrea. Mm-hmm. So I was just using her as an example, because I think she would really like it. It'd be great. She knows that she needs help. She's launching a business of her own about outreach. So for her, I'm trying to think, so she knows she needs help. So what does she need? I guess she needs to know that this can help her. This is supportive, that this is a safe place where she can test her wings of doing some new things. I don't know, about doing things differently.
Mm-hmm.
This is
so
off
is
the
that,
top of my head.
Is that going to be a big part of the program, that this is like a safe container for experimentation and doing things differently and testing things out?
It might. See, I'm trying to figure out how to do this, like the chicken and the egg thing.
Did you,
safe container is definitely true. And I like the idea of
what are the results
ground?
That you're promising through these 10 weeks? Like, why would someone...
Awareness of ways they hold themselves back and some tools they can use. I mean, I'm very preliminary. I mean, I don't know these answers yet. I'm
okay.
Still trying to figure them
yeah,
out.
So I think those are the questions, you know, to ask first. So
could you run those by me again, the questions
mm-hmm. so what
like,
are
that
the
I need
results,
to figure out?
What are the results that someone can expect?
Mm-hmm. Got it.
That's top question.
Okay.
And then here's what I want you to be aware of, and everybody else on the call. As you make that list, after you make that list of results, I want you to mark off the ones that you know they need. And then I want you to mark off, right? Because let's just even take awareness. Like, of course, like every good coach.
Right.
Knows,
yeah.
But your ideal client isn't laying awake at night being like, if only I was more aware of my block.
Yeah, right.
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 Like your
yeah.
ideal client is probably laying awake at night thinking like, I need to get off my ass and do this, or I don't want to be miserable anymore in my current job, or, you know, whatever it is.
Right. Yeah.
So you can weave
yeah.
the awareness part, like, into the BBS, into the brilliance-based system, but we definitely
yeah.
don't want to lead with that.
Oh, no. I mean,
yeah.
I haven't even thought about this at all. I'm just
Yeah. No, so this
sure.
is great. So I would start with what are the results, and then I'd go to the question of what do they need to hear. And then here's the other thing, and this is important for everyone. Your friend that was interested,
mm-hmm.
would you be willing to go to her and say, hey, can you tell me why you're interested in this? Like, why do you think this is for you?
Yes, totally.
Right.
Right.
Because
that was
market.
My next question is like, oh, my gosh, if she's a potential IC, then, yeah, I would have that conversation and hurt me.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even beyond enrolling her is like, that's amazing market research.
No, I don't mean as far as enrolling her.
Yeah,
I'm talking,
exactly.
I'm with you with the market research idea.
So,
yeah,
she was like, ooh, this sounds like it's for me. Ask her why. What is it?
Yeah.
Why does she think it's for you? What did you say that made her think it was for you? What is she assuming it's going to be, right? That is going to be gold for you.
Yep. So that gets me to the, I guess there's nothing to prevent us from having conversations with people and asking those questions versus trying to make assumptions on our end.
Not at all. And in fact,
right?
Not
That's,
at all, and in fact, just so you guys know, like, one of the things I will probably be doing next in my launch is, probably won't be me, somebody on my team, I'm going to call people that registered and actually ask them why they registered. Part of it will be so that I can give them exactly what they want in the program. That's what I'll tell them, right? But the other reason why I'm going to be asking them is so that I know what to say in the next leg of my marketing.
Right, because we don't really know. Right.
Yeah, sometimes.
And that's where
know.
I get a little stuck. Right. But I can ask. I have plenty of people.
You can always ask. Always.
Right. Awesome. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Corey.
I'm glad that I'm coming in after having listened to other people speak. I kind of got stuck at number two, what resistance am I not really dealing with in my marketing? And then the instruction piece, I'm like, well, you know, I can play with that now because it's a clear point. So both of those are helpful. And I went back to what, I'm looking up here, what clients need to hear. And what came to me in that was this, one sentence, when you rock the boat, you can still stay afloat, which I wouldn't necessarily use as a sentence, but it's important coming back to the results and then working with the copy. When I'm working with ordained women who some are terrified to say anything that a parishioner can use against them in any way, shape, or form, whether it's true or not, but that deep level fear of misinterpretation that can then make life absolutely miserable and no hope of being able to move on to another congregation. At least not with, you know.
I want to speak to that, Corey. That's really important.
Yes. And then my work with them being a safe place to work through, well, reflect on that and make shifts in how they view things and be able to hear themselves and hear the power of their own faith, their own beliefs, and that really being what we are called to as clergy. And so I half say that, and I've been reworking my website knowing that I wanted to rework the front, the landing or the homepage copy to make it very precise in that way, because when I look, and I talked with this about this with Marcy, in our last call, when I look at one Facebook group, I see so many people simply expressing or asking the question, this is going on, we've all been through it, I don't know what the hell to do. They know what to do, but they're terrified to do it because they don't have any kind of immediate support specifically for them that says, when you're done with that meeting, you know, I will leave that space open and we will talk, or you can call me and include, you know, basically you're not alone in this and you're not relying on potentially non-supportive denominational people to guide you through this. And so it, in listening to all of this, I realized, yeah, it just really needs to be said.
Yeah.
And know, I needed that and never got it. And so I really know the importance of that. And my denomination really is no different than any other. We're teensy tiny, and so it might be more kind of back to the wall more quickly, but gossip happens. It might take 3 hours to get across the country in another denomination where it takes 5 minutes in mine, but it doesn't matter. Yep. The damage can be done, and the pain is horrifying. So rather than focus on, I can't say that,
I would focus on those other pieces and those resistances, name it, normalize it, and then show them the way around it. Beautiful. Yeah, really good.
Yes, that's exactly what I wrote down.
Good.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Wonderful. Well, we're at 4 p.m. Eastern, so I hope that this call today started to open up some new places for you to go in your marketing. Again, we don't want to market more necessarily. We want to get more precise in the marketing. So I'd love to hear how things evolve for you. I know I'll hear from Caitlin and Mercy and on our spotlight calls, but please let me know on our Facebook group. And I'll talk to you all soon. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.